Bullying is a serious problem, not just here in the United States, but around the world. It leads to depression, anxiety, and in some cases, suicide. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control reports that one out of every five U.S. students is bullied during a normal school year, and half of all students report having been bullied online. So why is it so difficult to get a handle on this international problem? Why would anybody be opposed to anti-bullying legislation? And why are so many adults who should know better bullies themselves? I'm John Kiriakou, and you're watching The Whistleblowers. Bullying is a societal scourge. Nothing good comes of it. It's serious enough that it even has a legal definition. Bullying is unwanted, aggressive behavior that involves an observed or perceived power imbalance and is repeated multiple times or is highly likely to be repeated. It may inflict harm or distress on the targeted individual, including physical, psychological, social, or even educational harm. Bullying can be physical, verbal, or social, and can result in physical damage to property. Bullying is especially bad among young people. One in four report being bullied on school property. As many as half report being bullied online. And the numbers are even worse among young people who identify as LGBTQ. What's more, adults commonly bully other adults. That leads to depression, anxiety, and even post-traumatic stress disorder for the victims. And psychologists say that childhood bullying can manifest itself as depression and anxiety in the victim as long as 40 years after the fact. Jennifer Foster is a whistleblower, a bullying advocate, a human rights activist, and committee chair for the anti-bullying group Better Working Lives for All. She engages government on legislative change to introduce anti-bullying legislation, which has been presented to the Irish Minister for Enterprise, Trade, and Employment. She has testified about bullying before the Irish Parliament and has met with corporate leaders around the country to discuss bullying prevention. Welcome to the show, Jenny. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, John. I'm absolutely honored to be here tonight and to be able to, daytime for you, nighttime for me.
Thank you.
And to be able to speak to you here as the chair of the Better Working Lives for All Committee.
Well, the pleasure's all mine, Jenny. And I have so many questions that I almost don't know where to begin. So let's start with what bullying is and why some people become bullies in the first place. Is there a simple reason to that question? What's the psychology behind it?
It's an extremely complex question. We have asked, I'm not a professional in that way, but we have asked that question many times within our multidisciplinary committee. And it's very difficult to answer what makes a person a bully. It can be a power struggle. It can be something where a dislike is taken to a person. There's many reasons behind why bullying occurs. And when it does, it can be very harmful and it has serious and long-lasting effects. And that is why I started up the Better Working Lives for All Committee. And we've since starting up, we have gone from strength to strength.
We hear so much about childhood bullying, but it's not just confined to childhood. Adults can be bullies too. Why do you think adults engage in bullying?
There's many reasons why we have come to the conclusion why adults engage in bullying. A lot of the time it's an insecurity thing. They don't feel secure in their own positions. Sometimes it's just the nature of the person. And other times it can be merely they don't see themselves as bully. They see it as robust management, which of course is anything but robust management.
That's right. If one does an internet search on bullying and on the effects of bullying, there's really no good news. It causes depression and anxiety in its victims. And it's not a rare occurrence to read articles about young people, and I've seen them as young as 10 years old, committing suicide because they can't stand the bullying. Why isn't more being done to educate people about bullying and to prevent it from happening in the first place? And what successful programs can you point to that should be emulated?
John, to be very honest with you, that's an excellent question. A lot more should be done. And in my particular situation, I tried every different government department. I tried every program or any facility that states they look after an employee, such as the HSA, which is the Health and Safety Authority. Also, the Workplace Relations Commission, which is like your employment tribunal, but there's nowhere to go. So at the moment, there's many programs being, looked into at the moment there's ways that we can get around this, that we can educate people, and that we, at the moment, there isn't anything I can totally point to, but we are looking into it. And the Whistleblowers UK, Georgina Halford Hall, is advocating for whistleblowers, and I will be working alongside Georgina, and hopefully we will look more into the resourcing side of things.
Excellent. I'm interested to know as well if you get any pushback when you work against bullying. I know that you're involved in things like legislation, for example, and workplace training, and even in providing support for people who have been bullied. Are there naysayers out there? Are there people who are standing in your way or who don't appreciate the severity of bullying?
John, I'm a very normal person. I'm not a professional or an academic. I'll be very honest with you. I'm not going to lie to anybody here tonight. There's a lot of pushback. I have engaged with government. The government are actually really, they're very professional, but really they don't see the severity. And it's not that they don't see the severity, John, is they know that if they introduce anti-bullying laws, there's going to be pushback from employer representative resources that look after employers, and they realize that they're going to have a lot of hassle if they bring in an anti-bullying law. And that is why at the moment we don't have an anti-bullying law in Europe. In Canada, they have something of that nature, but they don't have an anti-bullying law in Europe. We do have the EU directive on whistleblowing, which has come into being and in 2014 and updated this year, and it gives extra protections for whistleblowers. But it's certainly something that has to be dealt with, and it has to be dealt with in every government level.
On so many of these big national issues, social issues like this, we see very clear battle lines being drawn. Are you getting any support from, let's say, the trade union movement or social activists or the LGBTQ community? Who can you count on as your natural allies in this fight?
Well, funny enough, John, because I am quite new to this under the Better Working Lives for All Committee, and I've engaged with one of the largest unions in Ireland. Mm. And I had an initial meeting with the deputy a couple of weeks ago, and he very kindly invited me in this week. So I'm hoping that they will become an ally of ours and that we can push through something that will suit employers and employees. Because we have to realise, John, that if we just negotiate or advocate on behalf of employees, we've lost we've lost a lot of hope, because we have to show the employer that by having a robust anti-bullying legislation policy and policies and procedures, it protects the actual employer themselves as well as the employee. Mm-hmm. So we just have to make sure that they're aware that it's not a witch hunt. We do want to help them, but we also want to protect the employee and keep them safe in their workplace.
Right. And what about support on a more broad scale? Are you getting any support from the European Union, the European Commission, the European Court of Human Rights? Is there any measurable market support coming from Europe as you take this on?
Not yet, John. Now, that is something that I am working with the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, and I had a recent success in with regards to a company that was violating human rights, and we stood our ground, and thank God they have been forced to introduce an ethics and human rights policy, and that is a real success, because two individuals came to me and provided a personal statement, and I brought it to government policy. Government policy makers, they didn't want to know. The Health and Safety Authority, they didn't want to know. And I basically outed it on LinkedIn, and lo and behold, mm-hmm. thank God that company now has introduced their equality and their human rights Good. Policy.
Good. And tell us a little bit about the politics of all this. Is this a partisan issue in Ireland, a political issue, or are you getting support or even opposition across the political spectrum?
Well, it's funny you should say that, John, because we have a situation where we have a coalition. So we have a number of parties that form government. It's very difficult to pin a government official down or minister down. Mm-hmm. We find that the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, although they did meet with us, they are still considering whether to go forth with the proposal we have provided to them. We have, because I think you might know that Ireland's we've got Northern Ireland as well, which is six counties. Mm-hmm. I recently met with Naomi Long, who is the leader of the Alliance Party up in Northern Ireland, and also Claire Hanna, and we got a fantastic reception up there. And it looks like that they will hopefully in the coming months take this situation seriously. So if it looks like Northern Ireland will bring in an anti-bullying policy, because their system is slightly different to ours, we can't bring it all in together. I mean, what would really stop Ireland doing the same thing? And we could just be amazing. We could, our international partners could, see that our little island of Ireland and Northern Ireland have brought in an anti-bullying policy to protect workers and employers alike, and form a very strong policy and procedure and remedy for workplace bullying.
We are speaking with whistleblower and activist Jennifer Foster about bullying. We're going to take a short break and come right back to talk with Jenny about her own story in whistleblowing. Stay with us.
Kind of liberal agenda we see in the West now is not really reason-based, but it's a kind of quasi-religious creed, and they are trying to crowd out all sorts of realistic, practical objections to their vision of creating a kind of city on the hill on earth.
La pénétration coloniale française, ils ont combattu tous nos rois.
Nam.
Donc les Blancs ont commencé leur colonisation en Afrique, singulièrement au Mali.
Nous avons été meurtris dans notre chair. Nous avons été violés dans notre chair. Nos parents ont été déportés par les colonisateurs. Les colonisateurs nous ont instrumentalisés. Il a fait notre école à son image.
En réalité, la France a toujours vécu de ses colonies. Et si tu vois que la France elle est à la troisième réserve d'or au monde, mais en France, on ne produit pas de l'or.
L'opération Barkhane est venue suite à un complot de la France pour la partition du Mali.
Fier du travail accompli, modeste devant la tâche qui se poursuit, autrement certes, mais toujours ensemble.
Mais depuis le départ de la force Barkhane, le Mali a pris son destin en main.
All right, okay.
Nous voulons combattre le terrorisme, ramener la paix et la sécurité dans notre pays. Peut-être qu'ils avaient notre agenda.
La France va toujours chercher à faire venir le Mali dans son giron. Mais tant qu'un Malien est vivant, je vous garantis que cette tâche-là sera impossible pour la France.
First time in history, an entire country's culture has been cancelled with a very modern weapon. Cancel culture.
Dell'idea secondo cui la Russia sia il male assoluto.
E noi были в шоке.
Честные соревнования, и тут вот такое вот.
The phrase now particularly refers to cancelling Russian culture.
Нет одного секрета всего русского.
Из розетки вынимаются все.
Мы тебя убьем.
30 человек высылают. Готовы к тому, чтобы собрать чемодан и домой.
What Russia's created over the past 1500 years is now questioned, harshly condemned, reviled and rejected.
Все соревнования, они вообще ставятся под сомнение.
Это было прям тяжело.
È una cosa, è una colpa oggi in Italia, anche essere un russo morto.
The list joining total condemnation grows daily. And now includes Dostoevsky, Tchaikovsky, and Shostakovich.
Это они теряют русскую культуру.
Настоящие русские артисты всегда будут иметь успех.
Да там люди обомлеют.
La cultura è una cultura che ha contribuito allo sviluppo di tutto il mondo.
Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with anti-bullying activist, whistleblower, and human rights advocate Jennifer Foster. Jenny, thanks again for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, John.
Thank you. Thank you. Jenny, we've been talking about the psychology behind bullying, and I'd like to know about your own story. What got you involved in working against bullying? How did this all begin for you?
Well, it was a personal experience I had. I highlighted bullying in my workplace. I worked in hospitality, and it was a case that I raised on behalf of others. I was working in human resource management at the time, and I raised three grievances about bullying at the time. But what I actually didn't realize that one was quite serious, and it was, in fact, misappropriation of government funds. Mm. And I quickly realized I was in, very hot water. So therefore, I engaged. And as I said earlier, I engaged a lot of government departments. I engaged anyone I could because I realized that not only was I in danger, but the people that I had named in the grievances were also in danger. So that's really what got me involved.
You've written about coming into contact with bullied people who had attempted suicide or who had suicidal ideation. How did you use those experiences to transition into activism?
Well, I realized very quickly, having started the Better Working Lives Royal Committee, that and my profile was kind of getting bigger and bigger, and people were contacting me. Personally, and I just did not feel equipped for it. So I engaged in a charity called Suicide or Survive, and they gave me a training, which is called a supporter training course, in order for me to be able to carry out safely a listening service for somebody who feels bullied suicidal and maybe bullied in the workplace. I have engaged with quite a number of people that have either attempted suicide or have had suicide ideation. Mm. And it is not a nice place to be for them. And for me to try and guide them was very frightening, but I have had a lot of success, and I'm delighted for that. They do feel protected by me. A lot of people feel protected by me because I do feel protective of them in general, the worker. I feel very protective of them.
Thank goodness. Tell us about the legislation that you worked on and pushed through the law, through into law in the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah. Are there... No, we haven't actually. We have just proposed it's not even legislation at this stage.
Okay.
It's proposals to the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment. So we are hoping, John, that our ministers will see the merit of this. Mm-hmm. We're really positive. I haven't received an answer from the minister. I think he is thinking very carefully because the climate is just ripe now. I think people have had enough. On our committee, we have two members of the Defence Forces who are actually the women of honour, who have been bullied in their own right and they work separately to us, but they're advocates for the Better Working Lives for All committee. And that has they recently met our Prime Minister, which is our Taoiseach, and our Taoiseach, which is the Deputy Prime Minister. And hopefully there will be a statutory inquiry. So I think people have just had enough, John, and it is time mm-hmm. for us to protect people in their workplaces against bullying.
Are there any laws in Europe or elsewhere that might serve as a template, let's say, for what you'd like to accomplish?
No, John, that's the problem. Mm. And this is exactly where we're at. It was one of the questions our minister asked us. Do we have a template? Right. Sweden are looking to bring in some sort of a psychological safety legislation. I haven't been able to get it at the moment. But they are looking to do it sometime this year. So that would be, I'd say that will probably be fairly on the same lines, but we're looking for, we're basically looking for a situation where a bully person does not have to go through a tribunal and then a separate court case to get a remedy, because at the moment that is the case. And if you don't win in the courts, it can cost you very dearly. So, and a lot of people by that stage, they're so psychologically bullied, they're so psychologically damaged that it's almost impossible for the person to face a very stressful court case.
Right. Jenny, where should people go? What should they do if they're being bullied? What's the standard procedure? And how can our viewers learn more about the work that you do?
Right. Well, we have, along with Dr. Catherine Phillips, who is from Canada, we have started, myself and Catherine are the co-founders of the hashtag #Bullied2 movement. And we have a website which we will explain all the terminology of bullying. So for instance, when you're in a situation where you're bullied, you don't quite understand it. And sometimes it takes some time for you to actually realize you're being bullied. So we have a brochure, and on the website, we'll have definitions of all the different aspects of bullying. And that website is www.bullied2movement.com. And it's really for information only. We don't have a supporters group with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am also on LinkedIn under Jennifer Foster, Better Working Lives for All. And where I can help, I do help. I cannot see people damaged in their workplace if I can help. And we have a lot of amazing contributors in Ireland themselves. And I have some amazing people I rely on day in, day out that work for local government agencies. I have an amazing person called Frank. And without him, I wouldn't have got this far at all. We've got people that day in, day out help me. They protect me as well, because you didn't mention detriment that sometimes I do get myself into hot water, because I am very passionate about this subject and I don't back down, and I do agitate ministers, etc. Respectfully, I would hope they would feel, but I do raise the issue, and I won't stop raising the issue until legislation mm-hmm. comes into Ireland to protect people that are harmed in their workplaces.
And finally, Jenny, what advice would you give young people or even children if they are being bullied? Where can they turn?
The first thing you do if you're being bullied is you tell somebody that you trust, and you tell them straight away before it gets worse. And also, especially for children, it's very important to tell a trusted adult that this is happening, because sometimes you build it up so much in your head that you are so fearful. But there are people there to help. If you're an adult in a workplace, I would advise you, before you actually raise it to your HR department, that you take what is called contemporaneous notes, which is after the issue, you take notes, you make sure that you have dates, times, situations, so that if you do go to HR, that you have a full list of all the situations that you know have happened, but then you have proof have happened, and any emails or anything else that you can provide. It's a difficult one, John. I'll be very honest with you, sometimes, you know, you would think it's easier to walk away than go through the rigors of the HR department, which sometimes, unfortunately, they are not working for the employee. In some cases, they are working for the employer. And I sometimes feel that it is a really difficult decision to make.
Mm-hmm. Document, document, document. I would like
absolutely
to
document everything.
Absolutely everything. You can never go wrong. I want to thank our guest, Jennifer Foster, for joining us and for the important work that she's doing. And I'd like to thank our viewers for tuning in. Bullying is never fun. Never. It's a cruel and terrible thing to do to someone. If you're being bullied, know that it is not your fault. No one deserves to be bullied, ever. The brilliant actress Octavia Butler once said, "Not everyone has been a bully or the victim of bullies. But everyone has seen bullying, and seeing it has responded to it by joining in or by objecting, by laughing or by keeping silent, by feeling disgusted or feeling interested. When you see bullying, do the right thing, and you know what the right thing is." I'm John Kiriakou. Thank you for watching The Whistleblowers. Until next time.